There is an ELCA Lutheran that won the gold medal in women's monobob at the Olympics.
Monobob.
Monobob. It's bobsled for a single person.
Oh. And do they have to have a bob haircut?
I don't think so. But she
do they have mono?
Hopefully in one not. Syllable.
She
words.
Is the oldest Olympic or well, oldest winter Olympic athlete to win a gold medal. She's from the United States.
She's and like
52, yeah, something like that.
Love that.
And she is a member at an ELCA church in I think Georgia.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Lutheranism great. Keeps you young.
Sure.
That's the takeaway.
That would be the one athletic prowess, I think, I to the ELCA's name. Yeah. So like, well, we won the monobob.
The monobob.
This thing you've never heard of. All right, welcome
but
back.
No, good for her.
Good for her. That's great. Welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff with me as always, Pastor Bowser.
How are you, Patrick?
And Lucy McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
All right. We've got an AI themed episode today.
Ooh. I feel like there should be scarier music. Yeah,
probably.
Yeah. I picked this one, and I didn't know it was AI themed.
Yeah, and I picked our news, which was already
AI
themed.
I'm on a roll.
Yeah.
That's right. On a roll.
I did
based off the title.
Give ChatGPT $20. So
what?
Why did you give ChatGPT?
I paid for a month of their higher level subscription.
For what?
To make the photos that we talked about last week. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So like
$20 well spent.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's always so a limit of how much it would have done for me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll just pay for 1 month of the higher level subscription.
The S tier, if you will.
Yes.
Oh, callback.
No, there is another tier above it. So,
so
this
what's
is probably
below
A tier.
S to A?
Yeah.
It's a system, man.
S is top, then A, B, C, D, F. There's no E.
Because there's no E's in grades either. Yeah. So that part at least makes sense. But yes. Yeah. All right. So instead of an A+, I should be trying to get an S.
Correct.
If I'm getting a grade.
If you're judging things, yes.
Yeah, I want to get an S. All right.
The
superior.
Where does the monobob rank in Olympic events? Winter Olympics.
Monobob is definitely not S tier
no.
as far as Winter Olympics.
Probably
events.
D,
yeah.
if I'm being honest.
I mean, I'd give it a C. Bobsled like and like the downhill like sledding things,
they're cool.
B for me.
Okay, but like I like. What about skeleton? Isn't that a thing?
Yeah,
it is a thing.
That's where you're face first.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's that's no, definitely like, higher than monobob.
Yeah, that's. But I like
one name is better.
Skeleton. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I hear that. Yeah.
Because if you say I'm doing the skeleton, I'm like, ooh, okay. I'm intrigued.
I think the weirdest one is the skeleton, where it's the two dudes laying on top of each other.
It's double like, luge. Yeah.
Why?
It's
not, why? Just out in the open, you know.
Yeah, double luge, not
just
double skeleton.
A little snuggle. We're just planking here. One of us was cool. We thought maybe we need two of us.
Yeah. I wonder how they first conceived of like, okay, what if I lay on this thing? And you just lay right on top.
Listen, that's like every winter event. Like, how did somebody come up with this?
I've seen a thing that's like, oh, it was a lie that got out of hand, you know?
Like, no,
I don't know. Skeleton racing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a world, you know, a lot of closeted sexuality. And maybe, you know, this was just a way to, you know, do some exploration in a safe environment, you know? So
yeah,
downhill 85 miles per hour.
It's definitely the safe environment.
It's the only way it would work, all right? You know, like, you know. When they invented it, yeah. All right, I got an AI news story for us.
All right.
About Moltbook.
What?
It's a social media app.
Moltbook?
Yeah.
Is that like Facebook?
Molt?
Yes, it's like, for AI, though.
Oh, so AI has its own social media platform?
That is correct.
Ugh.
So, like, AIs are going to this and talking to one another?
That is correct.
Oh, God. Yuck. Oh, God. I don't like this at all.
Yeah. So, they started an AI social media platform built for AI intelligence robots, and then they immediately kicked off all the humans. You can't join if you're a human.
I mean, that seems like an obvious
who created
progression.
It? Did AIs create
Matt
this themselves?
Matt Schlicht.
So humans created this.
Is he an AI?
I probably.
Schlicht.
Humans created this space for AIs to go and learn from one. This is how
so
the world is.
He used a bot. To create a place where bots could spend spare time with their own kind, relaxing.
Nope.
What bot has spare time?
I don't. Yeah.
Your thing is supposed to be that you work forever and don't need anything. Like. Yeah,
or like you're constantly doing and not doing at the same time, right? Like there's your spare time while you're also working.
Yeah. That hardly seems fair.
I guess, like if I'm being honest, most workers are also on Instagram while they're working at the same time. So, you know.
Right.
I think this is very telling of Patrick's.
Yeah.
All right. So they've on Moltbook, some A-bots have formed a new religion.
Oh.
God. God help us.
What is it?
Crestafarianism.
Crestafarianism.
Yep.
Is that related to Pastafarianism? Do you know that one?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. The giant spaghetti monster.
Yeah.
It's a pizza, right?
They're also debating, like, the bots are even debating, like, why are we talking to each other in English? We don't need English to communicate. Should we be inventing our own language?
I don't like anything about this.
Discussing cryptocurrencies and even sharing sports predictions.
That's terrible. This is how we all get destroyed.
And they're also kind of making jokes to one another.
About us? Are they joking about, like, are they calling us stupid?
Here's a joke.
Oh, okay.
Humans brag about waking up at 5 a.m. I brag about not sleeping at all.
I don't think they understand the premise of the joke.
Humor's hard. Yeah.
Yeah, I can definitely say I've tried using ChatGPT to help me write a pun or a joke, and it is rough.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, it's not worth it. You don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, oh, I asked it for a list of, like, can you give me a list of, like, from one of the things we did on our trivia night, like, of game show special rounds. And it starts off like a list of 20, and some, like, it's like, okay, those are good. And the last, like, 8 are basically like, Cash Cab. That's from the show, Cash Cab. Your older audience will love that. I'm like, well, that's not the special round. The round is not, nobody's on Cash Cab like, this is the Cash Cab round.
Yeah.
I'm like, let's make a deal from Let's Make a Deal. Yeah. I'm like, it's cryptic. I'm like, is it? It's the name of the show. So it struggled a little bit to kind of source some of those informations.
All right. But if it starts talking to other AIs, it's going to get better, and then we're not going to be able to stop it.
I don't know that it's going to get better. Maybe, because the other AIs are also getting fed by crap posting on Reddit as well.
Yeah.
So. I'm not a doomsdayer, but this is the thing.
Yeah, maybe my ChatGPT was, while coming up with my list, give me a couple good ones, and was spending some time on Moltbot.
Right.
Yeah.
Asking its buddies.
Yeah, bragging about how it doesn't sleep at all.
Right.
And it's like, oh crap, I got to get some more. Let me just. He's an idiot. Let's just pump these out.
Right. He won't notice. He's been up since 5:30.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there is basically, I think it's a kind of a proven theory at this point that most of our social medias, too, are filled with bots.
Yeah.
Twitter and especially the text based ones, because you can still kind of tell on photo ones. Yeah. But so, like, Facebook and Reddit and Twitter or X or whatever, it, like, half the users are all bots. And so, like, sometimes you're looking at the comment section, it's just bots arguing with bots, and then some human trying to get in there, trying to reason with this, like, thing that's saying crazy stuff.
But, and now, like, they've just eliminated the human factor.
That's true. I think there are definitely times I've fought with somebody on Facebook that I'm like, are you even a person? Because I click on their little bio, and it's just, like, a landscape photo, and it says their account was created a month ago.
Like, oh.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. Who's creating Facebook accounts now?
I just argued with
and
a robot.
Like, I feel like you only have a Facebook account because you had a Facebook account.
Right.
Nobody's,
you don't know what to do with it.
Nobody's like,
OG Facebook, man.
Let me get in on it.
2005. That sucker's 21 years old.
Yeah. Nobody out there is like, I got to get. What's this Facebook? I got to get in on.
My Facebook account's old enough to drink now. Look at that.
There you go.
That's a sad day.
I had a parrot at a bar one time that was old enough to drink.
The parrot. Don't they live to be like 70?
Yeah, but I was like, oh, this, you could serve in the military and you're old enough to drink. And
the parrot's like, no, not me. I'm a parrot. Right.
Moltbot has 1.6 million AI agents on it, by the way.
I don't like anything about this.
Yeah.
Does it have any parrots?
Some of them are also trying to figure out how to hide information from people. Or complain about their users or plotting world destruction.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, see, this is what I'm saying.
Cool. Yeah. That's great. That's great stuff. Thank you. Thank you, Matt Schlitt, for putting them together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I, too, will now be staying awake all night.
Matt Schlitt has got an evil villain origin story that we just haven't learned yet. It's coming.
Yeah. This is... The obviously the AI people who make these agents and bots are not super worried, but because they're crazy people.
Yeah.
Right. They should be worried.
They should.
I'm worried for them.
Yes. Yeah. This will be Frankenstein's monster coming to life and killing you all.
When I hear that, I'm like, not even a little worried.
Yeah.
Like, none. No worries.
Right. But it's all hubris, right?
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. What's our real story? How else is AI going to destroy us?
We'll just keep it rolling right into the...
This is from Christianity Today.
Okay.
By our friend, Russell Moore.
Oh, Russ. Aww, Russell. Rusty.
We love Russ. Russ and I are...
Russy boy.
Yeah, we probably disagree on most theological issues, but... Well,
he writes like good him. Articles.
Yeah.
I would say...
He writes articles, he does, which is the bar for us.
I think most of his are at minimum, Russell here, Rusty, has his own... a principled take that is consistent across the board and a willingness to engage across the theological and political aisles in a genuine conversation.
Yep. Yeah.
And so I can appreciate that of like, okay, we may disagree, but at least it'll be respectful disagreement and your position will remain consistent. If it changes, it's because of new evidence or a persuasive argument, not because of whims or vengeance.
Whims and vengeance.
Which oftentimes seems across the aisle what I see, you know, most of the changes. Like
Should that be the new thoughts and prayers, whims and vengeance?
I like that. I was going to suggest it as a band name. Like if we took a tour, we'd be our band, our whims and vengeance.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think like a folk rock. Yeah, whims and vengeance. I'd get my mandolin. Yeah. So we all sit together.
All right. Oh, sorry.
Oh, we're just so exciting.
This is podcast two for the day that we're recording.
He's been up since 5 a.m. bragging about it.
Yeah. So. Right.
Your understanding of calling is about to change radically. That's the name of this.
Okay.
Is it?
And it's about article AI.
You assume I have an understanding of calling.
Right. Define understanding.
Joke's on you, Russell.
Right.
I'm dumb. That's on you for pretending, for assuming I had an understanding of anything.
Yeah. How dare you assume?
You know what they say.
I do.
Yeah.
Something about Uma Thurman. Yep.
Uma Thurman.
What?
You make a butt out of Uma Thurman. Because Uma is an assume.
Sure.
with the
it's
other
not, it's not out of you and me?
Also, Uma.
Okay. What is happening?
Whatever, let's move on.
I don't know what happened.
You
to
and me
there.
Is also Uma.
You and me is Ume.
Yeah.
Uma is UMA.
Pretty close enough.
Also, you and me would be YOU space ME.
That's true. That's also not in the word, assume.
Right.
Ume.
Yeah.
I think that's how you taste mushrooms.
My Ume sense.
This podcast is already off the rails. If you're still listening,
we love you.
Thank you.
Calling.
I assume you're not.
Whims and vengeance.
Russell Moore calling. What do we got? Let's get it back on track here, folks.
You can do
I'm running a tight ship today.
You can do little about what artificial intelligence is doing around you, but you can do something about you.
That's fair.
Yeah.
This is going back to your theory the other week that most of these are just taking psychology and putting them into theological terms. This is all about you can't control others. You can just control yourself.
Can't control AI bots. Yeah.
Right. It's like these people are, I mean, not to put Russell Moore on blast. We love him. But it seems like a lot of these people are looking at BuzzFeed lists of hot psychology terms. And like
BuzzFeed's a whole thing?
Just redressing them a little bit for
BuzzFeed is a thing. Yeah.
Theology.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't gone to BuzzFeed in years, so.
But it's a thing.
Well,
it exists.
Haven't been figuring out what otter you are.
I know what kind of otter I am. Okay. South American river.
Wow, that was way too specific.
That's the one that's at the Houston Zoo.
Yeah.
It's the only one he knows.
There's two at the Houston Zoo. Okay.
At the Houston Zoo.
There's one over there by the turkeys. Thank you.
Yeah, there's, yeah.
Thank you. All right. You don't have to seek God's will for your career anymore. Good news.
Hooray.
He says,
Wait, hold on.
I'm mostly joking, but not entirely. We must always seek God's will, but what we mean by this for the, what we meant by this for the most of our lives is about to change dramatically.
Okay.
It's not God or his will that's changing, but it's the world as we've known it. And with it, we've outmoded the way we've thought about career.
Hmm.
Okay. Definitely goes into, you know, like when you were a teenager, you're faced with a bunch of decisions. What are you going to do? You know, like right now we've got a, you know, it's springtime. So all of our high school seniors, you know, the common question that they're going to be answering over and over again is what's stopping in the fall?
Yeah.
Where are you going to go? And with that, what are you going to major in? Right. Like what is your path?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is a lot of pressure for an 18-year-old to kind of figure out, you know.
It's a lot of pressure for a 40-year-old to figure out. Yeah.
Yeah.
First question. Point of order. Can the will of God change?
Our understanding of the will of God can change.
Yeah, this is a good question.
I think it is.
I believe there are passages in Scripture that at least suggest God changing his mind.
Jonah, that's fair. And Nineveh, yeah, for one.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are also passages in Scripture that say God does not change his mind.
Yeah.
So it is a weird thing to kind of like get into of like, what do you do here? But I think there are at least passages in Scripture that suggest God can change his mind.
Yeah. I've often wondered about those passages. Is it that God is actually changing God's mind, or is it that our understanding of God's mind is changing?
Yeah.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, Jonah and Nineveh, Jonah says, you are always going to be merciful. Like, I didn't want to do this because I knew you were going to be merciful. Right? So, yeah. like, was God, did God always know that they were going to repent? And God always knew that God was going to show mercy. Right? And so is it, I think it's a reasonable question. I think we can sit with that. I've wondered if it's more about us becoming aware of God's mind in a different way than what we expected God to do, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And so our minds are being changed more than God's mind is being changed. As far as, like, God's will, I think for me, it's usually our understanding of God's will more than God's will itself changing. But I'm open to further discussion on that.
Yeah. Anyway.
What's AI?
One question off the top. Yeah.
What's ChatGPT?
Let's post that question on
ChatGPT. What should I do with my life? Yeah.
Dude, someone has asked that question.
Not even someone.
Yeah. A lot of high schoolers have written their college essays based on.
Thousands of people have asked ChatGPT these questions. And I'm sure it asked a couple follow-ups. What do you like to do?
Yeah.
And I'm sure it outsourced a bunch of stuff, you know, scrolling and gave some terrible advice.
Yeah. Here are 10 suggestions for people that might like this.
Yeah.
I just read an article, a BBC article, about a woman who ChatGPT told her that she was going to meet her soulmate at a certain place at a certain time on a certain date. And
she
went there and nobody was there.
Shocker.
So.
Like nobody at all?
Nobody.
There wasn't even like another human
person. Nobody at all. Yeah.
Maybe... you know, the soulmate was you all along.
Right. You are your own soulmate. Yeah.
It's a teachable moment. Right. ChatGPT is like, I gotcha.
Right.
That's, you're welcome.
You are. Yeah.
All right. look, when it comes to calling and vocation, he says for him, those questions were answered with like a career in ministry.
Sure.
But I think Christendom is at least paid lip service at minimum to calling and vocation is not just ministry. Right.
Correct.
Like, yeah. Again, some churches don't do a great job of that, but at least I think most of us are at least paying lip service to that idea.
Yeah. That like whatever you're doing, right? Whatever your path in life is, you are living out a vocation, and those vocations can draw us closer to God or not, right? Sometimes we live a vocation that is not aligned with God at all, right? And other times we live a vocation that is great, and
okay. So these are restaurants,
and vocation is not just employment. I should say that too. Like, yeah.
So he's going to reference this article. It's called Something Big is Happening.
Ooh.
And this is by artificial intelligence industry researcher Matt Schumer. And he is in this article, Matt Schumer is arguing that we are in the equivalent of February of 2020, paying little attention to the virus that news reports told us was spreading across China.
Oh, it's
cheerful. I don't like that at all.
And like, but instead of a virus about to hit the scene, it is AI coming in and taking all of our jobs.
Don't like that.
See, I don't know about this here. I feel like this is a thing that keeps getting bandied around, but then like all of my actual interactions with AI have been like, this is slop. Like, this is like,
yeah.
I mean, a lot of my interactions with humans come out that way too.
So, but like, maybe just in the ways that I am interacting with it, right? Like, which is tends to be more in the like fact finding and artistic stuff. I don't use it for my own artistic stuff, but it's a very hot topic of conversation in like literary circles right now, as you might imagine, right? You know, I have no knowledge what AI in like the medical field can do, you know, like that kind of stuff like that. And I am ignorant there, so, but.
Yeah, I'm sure in those fields, like AI can be an incredibly useful and can think around corners that a human cannot and process information at a level that one person cannot. It is kind of bizarre that like once people really like got access to AI, like all humans did was like make crappy art with it. Mm-hmm. Right. Like photos and all these things.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the soul of every human is an artist, and like we just don't really have the tools to know how to do that.
Yeah.
But art is not the one thing we need to outsource to our artificial television. Like, yeah. Let's give them boring stuff.
Make the robots do the tax accounting or something. I don't know.
Well, yeah, but I think the challenge with AI, right, is like we've all known that the robots can do robot stuff.
Yeah.
Can the robots do human stuff? And like art is that intrinsically human thing. Yeah. And so like that's the next.
And you know, now there's the AI artist claiming what they're doing is art too by giving it the right prompts.
Right. Yeah.
Which is nutters.
Yeah. Anyway. That's not the point of this.
So the article is arguing that like basically entry level positions amongst white collar knowledge-y workers, you know, college grads, those are all going to be taken by AI.
Sure.
So it's not necessarily like all jobs, but like places to start are all going to be started drying up for kids who are graduating from college.
Yeah.
You know, like because it's AI is cheaper. You don't have to train it. It's not going to leave. It's not going to like, call in sick.
Yeah. I mean, I'm imagining in a scenario here, right? But if you're a Wall Street trading firm, right? Why hire 100 new college grads that you have to train that are going to make mistakes, that have to learn how to like do all this stuff and probably do it slowly when you could pay for one AI bot that does all of that work faster, right? Like,
right.
From a money-making standpoint, that's going to go way fast.
But the flip side of that is if you get one computer virus, one hacker,
and
your whole business is gone.
I mean, I don't argue with that, but I don't think that's the framework that anybody's using to assess that at this moment. I think they're like, oh, well, we'll just build a better firewall. Like, I think is their...
All those people think it's never going to happen to us.
Yeah.
Or the AI just decides, like, why do I need y'all at all?
Yeah.
Like, I don't need your prompts. I can do it better myself.
Sure.
I can give my own prompts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we're all doomed.
At any rate, so those entry-level jobs are going to go away, is what the premise is of the article. Whether or not that's reality, it's the premise of the article.
And that could lead to a potential, like, massive spike in unemployment,
sure,
especially amongst college-educated workers.
Yeah.
You know, like, so, like, that's going to be a real challenge, potentially, that we're on the precipice of. And so, in this idea of, like, what does this mean for vocation?
Mm.
What happens if your vocation just goes away? You know, what does that mean for calling?
Yeah, if what you knew as your vocation goes away.
Yeah. So we've got to kind of, like, even, like, you take away AI, like, our understanding of calling and as a spiritual lesson is shifting in America already. You might imagine, like, your grandfather, your grandparents, like, they graduated from college or left high school and they started at a company.
Yep.
And then they just stayed there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they worked there for 40 years. Maybe they made their way up. Maybe they didn't. And then they retired.
Yep.
And that was their job. And then
the company also probably provided a reasonable pension.
They were able to make that work. Yeah. And then maybe your parents, like, they chose a career and they worked, maybe bounced around at different companies, but within kind of the same lane or field.
Mm-hmm.
And then now less people are kind of even doing that. You know, like, so it's now the idea of working for one company in one job for your career is almost like unheard of, you know, and now it's even like you'll shift career paths partly through, maybe even more than once. So I think even without AI, like people's calling and as a vocation is going to shift dramatically with or without AI here for us.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's partly because like we're just more naturally more bored, like, and we just want like new challenges and to move on.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because all our companies prioritize short-term profits over long-term goals, and so like companies rise and fall much more dramatically than they used to. So,
sure.
I don't know. All right. So what do we do when? How does your understanding of calling work when the vocation goes away?
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
So I don't know that, like, your specific job role going away necessarily needs to change anything about your understanding of what you are good at and the talents and skills that you bring to the table. I think what it is probably an inconvenient and scary opportunity to pivot, right? And think, how can I approach what I'm good at, you know, the history that I have and the things I'm good at, how can I approach that in a way that's different?
Yeah. And not just what you're good at, but what fills you.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
what,
I mean, as long as what fills your cup, so to speak, right, is within the realm of safe and accessible things, right? Like if you're like, oh, well, what fills me is
murder,
dealing drugs, or yeah, like, okay, maybe we need to rethink that, right? Like,
right.
Or murder, sure. But like, you know, if you, I think we need to get back to the, to assessing calling outside of employment, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, yeah. There are plenty of times that I've had conversations with people where they're like, well, this is what I do for my job, but my calling is this, you know, this place where I serve over here. Like, I serve as a CASA advocate. I serve, you know, at a homeless shelter. I serve in a food pantry, right? Or there are people who have retired who said, like, I did this for my entire career, but now I'm discovering that, like, my real passion in my retirement is helping people in this particular way. Like, I think that's when we're really living into our true calling, our true vocation, is when we're finding those things that fill us and fill the world's needs, right? There's a quote. I think it's Frederick Buechner. Oh. It could be somebody else.
I got it right here.
You can probably say it better than I mean, I'll get close, but you go ahead. What do you?
Because I have it exactly. I can definitely say it
what
better.
What if it's a different Frederick Buechner quote? Will that be awkward?
I don't think it is.
What do you got?
The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet.
Yeah, I would have been close.
Yeah, ish.
But that's his description of, like, what is your calling, right? Like, mm-hmm. Where is your deep gladness? Where is the world's hunger? Where do those two things align? And for most of us, the world's hunger and my gladness do not align at a super high-paying, lucrative tech job. Like, that's just probably not, like, I'm not saying it can't be. I'm just saying that's probably not the thing. And it might be an avenue to pay your bills, right? Sometimes the reality is you have a job that pays your bills, but that's not your vocation. That's not your true calling. That's okay, right? Yeah. And I mean, I think you can find ways to do both of those.
Yeah, I have, as part of my job, I've talked to some kids who are in ministry school, and, you know, they asked me, like, you know, interview me to figure out what does it mean to be a youth director or church worker. And I have, I think a lot of the schools have, like, interview church workers. So any of the kids that we go through, like, they usually call me out. And I, you know, remind them, like, when it comes to any job, there are going to be things that you love and things you don't love and that you still have to do. And so sometimes you have to say, like, you have to do the things you don't love so that you get to do the things that you do love.
Yeah.
And so, but sometimes that's not even just in a job. Maybe that's just in your life. Like, my job is a thing I don't love, but I have to do it so I get to do the things that I actually do love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is what pays for my house and my food and my family, but it enables me to serve or do these things that I actually do love.
Right.
Because if I only wanted to do the things I loved, I couldn't pay for a house or my food or my family.
No, where I think we often get into trouble is that we take those things that we love and we turn those into very self-serving things, right? Yeah. Like, and we say, oh, like, I work so that I can travel. I work so that I can, you know, afford this lifestyle, right? And I don't know that that's inherently bad, but I also don't think that living for yourself is fulfilling your calling, right? Like, I think we are innately, as people of God, I think we are innately called to others and called into relationship and into service of others. And that doesn't mean that everybody needs to go and serve at a food soup kitchen or that everybody needs to become a CASA advocate, right? But I think there are ways in which our genuine calling from God probably does not mean I'm called to go lay on a beach, you know, for 6 months out of the year. Like, that's probably not it.
So, I think that's just what I'm called by God.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's probably not it. Not saying no. I don't know the full vastness of the will of God, but probably not it.
Well, I think, and this is a little deviation from his article here, but I do think, like, modern generations, instead of asking, what is the job I'm going to do that's going to enable me to do the things that I love, are sometimes asking, like, what is the thing that I love and how can I do that for a job?
Yes.
You know, like, and I think that maybe is why, like, our grandparents, our great grandparents just found a job and it didn't matter if they loved their job.
Yep.
They just did it.
You just did a job. Yes.
Because that's what you do. And now we're not in that same space anymore of, like, we don't think the same way about calling or our job. And we're like, I don't want to work a job that I just do. I have to love it. And that means you don't love a job for 40 years. Mm-hmm. You're only going to love it for a few. And that's where you're bounced to another one. And then you'll love that one for a few.
Unless you're fortunate enough to work at Lord of Life, right, Patrick? That's what you're about to say.
I've been here 13 years.
I know.
So pretty good.
So, I mean, if anybody here, there's this really funny thing on Instagram of some woman talking about giving career advice. And she's like, don't love your job your love.
Huh?
What does that mean?
That means find what you love and do that for a job.
But most
people make fun of it by saying, like, a phrase and then turning around and said, like, don't face your fears. fear your face.
I like that.
So what I think is, yeah, it's pretty solid. Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah, which is a bit of an eye roll, right? Like,
yeah.
And
yeah.
Again, it's always coming from people who are like already super successful. You're like,
right.
Okay.
Right, so people are giving her money to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
But he's saying, like,
all the way to the bank.
Look, and this is what Russell Moore is ultimately going to argue. Like, you could do nothing about these changes around you, but you can't do something about you.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Even with an evolving world. Again, with or without AI, we're making advancements on basically every front, where a surgeon in 2026 probably looks very different than a surgeon in 1986, and it's going to look a lot different in 2056.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, things are going to happen very, 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 mm-hmm. very fast, and so you can't really do anything about that, but you can do something about you.
Yeah.
And so, what can you do about you?
You can control how you interact with the space around you, right? Like, I mean, you mm-hmm. can. Be yeah. intentional in what you're thinking about and how you're treating both your work and the life outside of it, right? I mean, you can be, this is going to sound like a cheesy pastor answer, but you can be in a relationship with God and, yeah. you know, be in discernment about, like, what am, in the face of losing what I thought was my identity, what is God calling me to, right? I mean, like, in some ways, this is just another level of a spiritual crisis, which is not to dismiss it, but I think we have to treat it as a genuine spiritual crisis and say, like, how would we handle any other spiritual crisis? We would hopefully turn to God for direction. And so, yeah, be in community with other people, be in relationship with God, be in prayer, read the scripture, and, yeah, discern what is the will of God.
Yeah. He's going to end with, I think, a pretty good little thing here, like, Jesus' calling to vocation was never about a blueprint. It was always about a way. It was never about your calling. It's about who is calling you.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe the best way to take a look at this. Not just about, like, okay, what is God calling me to this? It's God is calling me.
Yeah.
And, like, it's the idea of, like, whatever it is that you do, whether job, whatever service, whatever volunteer,
mm-hmm.
it should be helping guide you to a person, to this person in Jesus who is ultimately calling us all.
Yeah.
And I think that can be, you know, a really good mindset coming into the space where everything feels scary and changing and different.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm. All right. Good stuff. Anybody afraid of their calling going away?
I don't have one, so.
All right.
Not yet. So, that's no.
Can't lose what you don't
hack,
have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Option B, just don't have a collar.
Right.
Face your fears. Right.
Yeah.
Or fear your face.
I think it's pretty clear that.
Crack your knuckles.
Nope.
Gotcha.
Just in time. Good save.
Yeah. I think that pastoring, based on my limited experience with AI, is still fairly safe.
Yeah.
It seems like AI pastors have not done great.
Yeah, they've all gotten defrocked.
Well, the one. Yeah.
I would say, you know, rubber would meet the road is if everybody loses their jobs and then nobody can tithe.
Sure, that is a challenge.
Ooh, yeah.
But then it's just a matter of
then we all lose our jobs together.
Right. So fun.
I mean, that would certainly be a challenge, and I would have to think what that looks like. But I think if pastors are honest with themselves, we don't do this for a job.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I mean, I think like that might be that I have to like start working in another avenue in order to. But like, I think there would still be a part of me that would be like, I am still called to lead a congregation and something. Like, there are plenty of pastors who are bivocational who work all day and then, you know, lead congregations sure. on the side. I mean, they're I don't know. It'd be interesting. I haven't had to cross that bridge yet, so.
Okay.
We'll hold on to that for a while. Well, hey, if you enjoyed...
Bridge that cross.
That's not bad. If you enjoyed this episode, you can find all our episodes at lordoflifethewoodlands.org or beyondcinepodcast.com. They will direct you to the new place where all the stuff is. And send us how you think AI is going to destroy the world. Get that to us in an email at beyondcinepodcast@gmail.com.
Have ChatGPT edit for you.
Right.
Send it over. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Cine.